everybody. Thanks for joining me for this talk. I'm Shannon Plunkett, a graduate student with Doug Soldat, Dr. Doug Soldat at UW-Madison, and this talk is on evaluating the ability of simple soil tests to detect lead hazard. Lead is dangerous in many different ways for the human body, and it is particularly hazardous for kids. In 2012, the CDC lowered the threshold of concern from 10 micrograms per deciliter lead in blood to 5 micrograms per deciliter lead in blood. And this was in response to enormous, overwhelming evidence that blood lead levels, even at very low concentrations, have deleterious health consequences. This reduction from 10 to 5 means that at least on paper, it looks like there are more people with elevated blood lead levels and may serve as a catalyst to get people interested in what they can do about reducing that exposure. A study by Hevlina et al. In 2009 found a 15% found that in the summer months and early fall months, blood lead levels in children in Wisconsin over the span of 12 years increased by about 15%, and this is during the time when kids are outside in Wisconsin, the soil's drier, there's more dust in the air, which suggests that soil is a significant pathway of exposure for lead. And indeed, the relationship between soil and blood lead is well established. This is a study by Zeron et al. In 2011, and these large circles illustrate high soil lead, and the red dots are high blood lead, and those map quite well. Lead phosphates are among some of the least bioavailable lead compounds. By bioavailable, I'm referring to the fraction of lead that's absorbed by the body upon it being ingested. And due to this low bioavailability, phosphorus amendments are increasingly common to remediate lead-contaminated soils. But there are some problems with this strategy of remediation. First is that the EPA regulates soil lead using a total lead, but soil remediation is increasingly focused on altering lead bioavailability, and total lead tests aren't sensitive to bioavailability. Existing lead bioaccessibility, or the in vitro analog to bioavailability, existing assays are expensive and not easily accessible. Thus, the objective of this research is to evaluate the ability of common, inexpensive soil tests to estimate bioaccessible lead. How we did this is we took 1,000 grams of a Plano silt loam series soil and incubated it with lead nitrate solution to target concentrations of 2,000 parts per million lead. We also spiked the soils with potassium chloride solution to a molar ratio of 5:2 lead to chloride, and this was done because chloropyrimorphite is one of those particularly insoluble lead phosphates, and that has a molar ratio of 5:1, so we added some excess to encourage that formation. From there, we divided the soils into 6 groups, a no-phosphorus treatment group, and then a 1:1 phosphorus to lead molar ratio treatment, a 2:1, 5:1, 10:1, and 25:1. The phosphorus amendments came in the form of phosphoric acid, and then calcium hydroxide was added to return the pH to a circumneutral level. The soil was then sampled with 4 phosphorus tests, the Olson, Malic 1, Malic 3, and Bray. These are all readily accessible, inexpensive phosphorus tests. A heavy metal test, the DTPA, and an approximation of total lead, the 1 normal nitric acid test. In addition, we also looked at a modified RBALP at a pH 2.5, as well as an experimental assay, which has the same solution as the RBALP, but doesn't require the same specialized shaking equipment, and didn't have the same temperature requirements. It was just done at room temp as opposed to body temperature. Additionally, lead mineralogy was analyzed using X-ray absorption fine structure spectroscopy at Argonne National Laboratory. We did this at beamline 10 BM, and all of the data was collected in fluorescence mode. The next couple of slides show the sensitivities of these different soil tests to phosphorus additions. So this first one, this is the one normal nitric acid, and this is supposed to be an approximation of total lead. And so as you see, as we're adding, can you see my cursor? No. Okay. Well, as we're adding phosphorus along the bottom, we're still extracting about the same amount of lead, which is what you would expect. And then this is the RBALP, so our first bioaccessible assay. And here, so we see on the bottom, this is increasing phosphorus ratios. And on the y-axis, the 100 point, 0 and 100, that is the amount of lead that was extracted before any phosphorus additions. And then as you come out, say, to a 10-to-1 ratio, you're seeing we're maybe only extracting 70% of what was extractable before any phosphorus additions. So this is the setup of these graphs. So the RBALP is an expensive, not accessible test, but it is the EPA standard for bioaccessibility at this point. And so we're seeing it's a moderately, it's a sensitive test to phosphorus. We're seeing decreases, and it's a relatively linear slope. The point for molar glycine, this is a test that was designed to simulate the RBALP, and we're seeing that it's much more sensitive to phosphorus amendments, has a precipitous drop in extractable lead upon adding just a 1-to-1 ratio of phosphorus to lead. And this is likely a result of the lower temperature, and so the inability to extract as much as in the RBALP. But we see it's more sensitive. At 25-to-1 ratios, we're extracting very little lead. This is our first inexpensive common soil assay, the Malic 3. It's available for somewhere between about $10 at many state labs, very easy to access. And we're seeing that it maps very tightly with the RBALP. And this is something that previous research has commented on. A study by Minka and Basta in 2013 found a similar correlation. This is the Malic 1, another inexpensive common test that is more sensitive, maps pretty tightly with the 0.4 molar glycine extraction. Then we're getting down to even more sensitive tests, the DTPA, which was the heavy metal test. And it's only extracting 20% of what was extractable before phosphorus at a 1-to-1 ratio and very little at 25, at a ratio of 25-to-1. And then the most sensitive, the Olsen extraction, which by a ratio of 5-to-1 is extracting virtually no lead. So here is the data. We have soil tests with a wide range in sensitivities to phosphorus amendments, and that's exciting because currently we lack in vivo data to know which of these tests is likely to correlate with an in vivo test, but because there is such a wide range, we can be confident that it's likely to fall somewhere within this range. The existing data that we do have for in vivo suggests that it is likely not the Olsen, just because that's so sensitive, and maybe not the DTPA, but we're not really sure. And so we need more in vivo testing to confirm which of these tests would be most appropriate. Until that time, however, we see that the Malic 3 approximates the RBALP well, and then that provides a conservative estimate for lead bioaccessibility. However, using this test on its own isn't sufficient to communicate lead hazard. For example, if a homeowner tested their soils and saw that they had 500 parts per million Malic 3 extractable lead, that isn't very informative. That can mean multiple things. You need to pair that information with some measure of total lead. And the one normal nitric acid extraction is an approximation of that. And so if you have both of those measurements and you see, okay, you have 500 parts per million Malic 3 extractable, but you have only 500 parts per million one normal nitric acid extractable lead, then you can know, okay, there's not much potential here, or there is a lot of potential here for remediation, that this is very likely to be bioavailable, Whereas if you have 3,000 parts per million in the one normal nitric acid, maybe there isn't any opportunity for further reduction. Results from the XAFS data. This is pretty fresh off the press, but some preliminary data shows that so on the y-axis we have mole percent of these different lead compounds, and we're seeing that as before adding phosphorus, the lead is bound to or absorbed to humic acids, montmorillonite, and ferrohydrite, and then upon adding phosphate, the dominant lead form becomes pyromorphite, this insoluble lead phosphate, which supports that the reduced extraction that we were seeing with all the tests may indeed be because we're forming this insoluble lead compound. In conclusion, then, phosphorus amendments are increasingly common, but we lack affordable, accessible soil tests that can measure lead bioaccessibility. Common soil tests have a large range of sensitivities to phosphate amendments, but we lack the in vivo data to identify which test is most representative of lead bioavailability. Until this data is available, the Malic-3, in conjunction with a one normal nitric acid test, offers a conservative estimation of lead bioavailability. And with that, I'd like to thank the USDA Hatch Grant for funding this project, committee members, and multiple people, well, one that's in this room, Dr. Kirk Shekel, without whose help we would have never been able to do the XAFS work. Thank you. Oh, sorry, Dr. Rasta.
Okay. The most important thing with in vitro methods is correlated with the in vivo animal model. And there is some data out there showing that the pH 2.5 modified, what you're calling RBLP, which is method 1340.
Sure.
That's the method correlated with the animal model. The method that's provided and described in Zia et al. Should never be used, and I'll tell you why. The soil solution ratio is 1 to 10, the other ones are 1 to 100. So it really underestimates what you're extracting.
Sure.
It's never been correlated with an animal model.
And which so is this? Oh, sorry. Is this the 0.4 molar glycine one? The other test? Okay.
0.4 molar glycine. RBLP is exactly the same solution.
Sure.
The difference is the soil solution ratio. And because it's much lower than the other method that has never been correlated with animal model, it doesn't dissolve much less.
Yeah.
A really, really low number, but it's going to be, it's never going to be accepted. That's correlated in that. So your Malic 3 number is really your, the last thing I'll mention is you can actually use Malic 3 to estimate total lead too. And third, in vitro is $35 to run, so they're not really that expensive. So, but still, I think Malic 3 is a good way to go. But if you really want, they're not that really expensive, $35.
Okay.
Yeah.